You know, we would say it's fun watching you
and
Carol.
Yes.
Wow, what a testimony. We just can't really verbalize what it's like for Pastor Dave and I to come here and say, look what the Lord has done.
Amen, amen.
Sometimes, I know in our fellowship too, sometimes it takes an outsider to come in and say, this is amazing.
Yeah, amen.
This is amazing. His presence. You truly do have heaven on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's opened up the windows of heaven.
Yeah, amen.
And poured out blessings right here
in
North Dakota. And we're rejoicing. Fruit around the world.
Yeah, and you've got to appreciate it because not everywhere is there the freedom of the Spirit.
Come on.
And then to sing in the Spirit, to enjoy His presence, to wait upon the Lord. You just have to enjoy that. And then that you're released to pray for others. Believers lay hands on the sick recover.
Yes.
You're released to pray and to minister. That is so good.
And
you know,
it's
we
rare.
Just compliment you for your leadership. This church is reaching a huge area.
Amen.
And the footprint, even now with Facebook, you know, live streaming, the footprint is huge.
Yes.
You know, in heaven will tell the story. You know, we get to heaven and there'll be people like, well, thanks for what you did. And you think, did I even meet you or so forth? No, your church, your ministry, and you're all part of that team. Amen.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, we're a teammate.
We work
together for the glory of God to advance the kingdom.
And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Yes, it does.
We want to declare everywhere you go that yokes are being broken.
Amen. Amen.
Generational curses are being broken.
Yeah.
Alcoholism. People are being set free from alcoholism.
Amen. Amen.
From drug addiction, from immorality, from mental illness.
Yes.
Because the light of Jesus has come into the dark world.
Yes.
And your city set on a hill.
Amen.
And your light is shining. You're making
Amen.
A difference. It's profound.
Yeah.
It's quite profound.
You're
and
making
we pray
a wonderful
for
difference.
Revelation that
a wonderful difference.
Yes, that we can all see it even more. Even more.
Yeah.
So the word I want to release this morning, and I shared it yesterday actually with the ladies. And thank God for all you ladies that love His word.
Yeah.
And my topic yesterday was to maintain peace.
Mm-hmm.
Can all the women shout amen?
Amen.
It's a good thing to stay in peace.
Yeah.
And that's a word that my husband gave me some years back. And because I get all like rattled. And it's kind of like we reverse roles, like we flip-flop. Because when we were first married, I was just like learning so much. And then the ministry, and then the kids, and then the family, and this and that. And all of a sudden, I was just going this way and going that way. And he'd just say, just maintain peace.
Yeah, amen.
Maintain peace. But peace, the word shalom, is a peace that we want to release today.
Yes.
He lives in you.
Yes.
But could we release shalom and peace to every area of your life?
Mm-hmm.
That there'd be a settledness.
Yes.
Wellness. Peace means to be well. It means to be complete.
Mm.
It means to be relaxed. It means to be calm.
Thank you, Lord.
And we all need it. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
We all need that.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Completeness, soundness, wellness, peace. John 16, Jesus said that He leaves a peace with us.
That's right.
And it passes our human understanding.
Yeah.
So we bless you today. We bless every marriage unit here in the name of Jesus. We bless your bodies, that you be whole and sound in your bodies through the power of the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Whole and sound and peaceful in your emotions, and that our spirits are open today to hear what the Lord wants to speak to us.
Yes.
And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It is an honor to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Amen.
And it's amazing how time flies, you know, that for when you started driving to the church, and here we are now, a few years later. And yeah, a church alive is worth the drive. How many of you drove more than 30 miles? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a blessing in that, you know. We have people that drive. You know, we live in rural areas, and people drive, and they're hungry for the Word. They're hungry for Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's an honor to be here with you today, an honor. Just we honor your pastors, and their leadership and how God has anointed them to lead, not just here, but other churches, influencing other churches through this region. It's powerful. You know, a lot of people say, can you come here and preach again? Can you, you know, a man in demand. So God bless you for just being open to the Spirit to help others, you know. So, some things you just plan to be faithful. You know, we didn't plan to stay at our church. If somebody say, we're going to pioneer a church, you're going to be there for the rest of your life. You'd be like, really? You know, but here we are, just one day at a time. And God has been faithful to bless. And we've gone to a lot of places in the world. And we host pastors' conferences and women's conferences. And we reach out to a lot of different people. And a lot of people that don't even come to our church but come by during the week for prayer because we believe miracles. And so they come by for prayer and so forth. And we go to the jails and we minister to people in the jails. And go to the campus, the university there, South Dakota State University in Brookings. So we go to the campus, and God's affecting the campus. And international students that are coming from all over the world. It's like, wow, the world has come to us. And so our congregation is multiracial. You know, we have probably 100 from Africa and other countries and stuff that come. And it's just really, really a blessing. It's what heaven is like, by the way. We always tell people, you know, the Bible wasn't written by an American. The Bible is not a white book. You don't want to make it a white book. It's a Middle East book. It's a book of color and culture and so forth. And you have to read it that way. You know what I mean? We have our traditions. We grew up certain places. Well, this is how it was. It's okay. But now let's blend with the Bible. I mean, that's how we become free in the Spirit, and that's how we break chains. And we also were raised in denominations and liturgies and so forth. And, of course, we never envisioned we'd be doing this someday, but here we are, loving Jesus around the world. And you know something? It is a worldwide movement around the world, and it started in the 80s. But I was speaking at our university in a religion class, invited, and they said, we're talking about churches like ours. And so I started researching. All around the world in the 80s, they started non-denominational churches. No head, no leader of all the things, or no structure, so to speak, with an organization. And yet all around the world this has happened. It's amazing. And so going to India or Africa or South America, Brazil or different places, you see churches just like this. And then about the time you think you're really on fire, you go to some other place and you're like, whoa, wow. You know, I mean, it's just like on fire. You know, I mean, it's just really impressive. And it just reminds us, I just want to keep growing. I just want to keep growing. I just want to keep learning. I just want to keep being obedient to what the Lord asks us to do right now. Amen. And that's all we're supposed to do is love. The two great commandments, love God, love people. We always think, keep it simple. Nothing we do is complex. It's simple. But the gospel's supposed to be simple, amen, so that even a child can kind of get it and flow with it and do it. Hallelujah. All right, so let's open our Bibles just a minute here to Hebrews chapter 5. And Romans chapter 5. Look at the wrong book there. Now, I just I want to talk about the goodness of God. And in Genesis 2, of course, in the garden, we all know how the garden, was the garden a pretty good place where Adam and Eve were at? It was perfect. And everything that God did was good, and he established things as good, and he created things as good. And then Adam fell. Adam and Eve sinned, and they fell. And he sold his birthright. And when he fell, that's when sin entered the world, and that's when the world changed. So we look at the world today and we think, wow, look at all the stuff that's going on and so forth. And so we have to look at it through the Word of God. If you're going to understand some of the stuff in the world, you have to look at it like, well, then what basis can we understand this through the Bible? So Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed among all men that all have sinned, for all have sinned. So when sin entered the world, that's when sickness entered the world. That's when wars entered the world. That's when poverty entered the world. That's when racism entered the world. That's when strife entered the world. All of these things are products of sin, all right? So we think, well, where did that come from? Well, it started all back in the garden. Sometimes we think, why did that person die? Well, it all started back in the garden. We're all going to die sometime, incidentally. And all because of what happened then. But to know Jesus, we can live forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So a Christian of all people, let me just say this. You always ought to be ready to die. That's not morbid. That just makes your life better now. If you realize, man, each day is good, and thank God for another day, you appreciate it. Amen. So you always want to be ready to leave this earth. Amen. And life insurance isn't bad either, by the way. I'm not a life insurance agent, but anyway. It's not. You're going to leave. Christians ought to know that. You're going to leave. And so when you leave, you think people say, well, I'm not going to need it. No, you're not. You ought to be rejoicing with Jesus, but your family might. Yeah. Side note. Anyway. Sin entered the world, and death by sin. So that's where all these things. People actually think, well, what's God doing today? And they're looking at all the calamities. Well, folks, God isn't in any of those calamities. Right. He's not in any of that. That God is not the author of that. God is only the author of good, all right? So if we're going to have some basis of understanding, then we have to look at it through the Bible, so in the effects. So sin had the great effects on the world. Now, let's look at another verse in Luke chapter 4, New Testament. Luke chapter 4. This is the temptation of Jesus. We've all read about these things, but sometimes we read them so fast that we don't stop to really catch what is said, or maybe an important point of what's said. So understanding this, in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, so the devil comes to Jesus, he's tempting Jesus, but in this particular case, the devil takes Jesus into a high mountain, shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now this is important, to look at what this is saying. And the devil says to Jesus, all this power I will give you, and the glory of them, for it's delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, important statement. Jesus never said to him, you're a liar. Because the devil knew that when Adam sinned, the devil, 2 Corinthians 4:4, write a note. It's good to take notes, by the way. Always good to take notes. Because a disciple is a student. And so we learn, if I don't take notes, you might be at lunch and say, boy, that was a good service today. What did they talk about? You know, it was really good. We talked about Jesus, and it was really good. And, we lose it in a daytime. It's most of it's gone. But if you take some notes, you write something down, a reference, you can always go back to it. Or maybe God might speak to you something that we're not even talking about, but he'll speak to you, and then you write it down. It's a word for you. The Holy Spirit gives you a word. So we want to write things down. But 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The God of this world? Well, I thought Jesus was the God of this world. No, he's not. Jesus is in heaven, but this world is in a fallen place. Okay? So the devil actually says to Jesus, the kingdoms of this world, they're mine. See, people don't, if they don't read their Bibles, then people act like, oh, well, that's a Christian nation, and that's this. Actually, all the nations are under the governance of the enemy. And the devil actually says that I can give it to whomever I want it to. That's delivered to me, and to whomsoever will, I can give it. So it's interesting then, if we start understanding, because there's conflicts and there's wars all over the place, it's amazing the time that we live in. But we have to understand, on the other hand, our opponent. What do they do? What do they do if you're playing football? They have one team that's got a dark jersey and one team that's got a light jersey. What's the reason for that? So you know who your opponent is, right? So I played quarterback in college football, and if you're dropping back, you're looking for who? You're looking for your guy. Yeah. All right? So you're looking for the one that's on your team. Yeah. You have to know your opponent. It says, and write this down a second, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that says we have an adversary. Yeah. Adversary, there's another word that's connected with it. That's where we get adversity. We have an adversary, and we only have one adversary, and it says it's the devil. Incidentally, the adversary is not your spouse. Hear a big amen there? Yeah. Amen. You know, Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So your adversary is never a person. It's never another human being. And that's the trick of the devil, to get people to think, they're my enemy. Or you might say, you know, we don't get along in our house at all, but she's just really an adversary. No, no, that's your spouse. Amen. A person, you know, see someone in your job, that's just a person. They're not your adversary. You might think, well, you don't know what they said, you don't know what they did. Yeah, maybe they've caused trouble, but you have ultimately one adversary, and it's the devil. Now, it's important to understand this, because then we begin to see people how Jesus sees people, that everyone is precious. Everyone is loved. Everyone is important. Because otherwise, we kind of get, people get offended. Well, I don't like them. I'm just not going to talk to them. Well, that is exactly what God doesn't want us to do, right? He wants us to love people. He wants us to care for people, reach out to people. And of course, you have to understand, this is a whole lot easier in the United States than a lot of other countries, because Christians are persecuted right now. There are people dying this very day because of the name of Jesus Christ, because they love Jesus Christ. And this is hard, because you have people killing people, and yet you're supposed to show love. It's like the boy in Iraq, in northern Iraq, it was over a year ago and so forth, but ISIS is going to kill him. I mean, this is a terrible thing, take off his head. And yet he took his Bible and he gave it to a person, and he says, "What's this for?" And he says, "Well, I won't need it where I'm going, but you'll need this book." You know, that's powerful. I can't imagine what those scenes are like. So we're in this place of warfare where we're living right now. John 10:10, write that reference down. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Two sets of fingerprints. So if the fingerprints are steal, kill, and destroy, that's a fingerprint of the enemy. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly." So we look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, peace, joy, long-suffering. Those are fingerprints of God. So two sets of fingerprints. So when we're going through life, we have to have some sort of discernment. What's of God? What isn't of God? Because sometimes people say, well, and you hear in Christian radio and so forth, and it's a nice cliche, God has everything under control. The only sad part is it's not true. If that was true, then God has the abortionists under control. If that was true, then God has the terrorists who are killing people under control. If we look at it in light of the Bible and what the Bible is saying, then we have to have discernment that there's two things happening here. Incidentally, you know, most churches nowadays, we were going door to door in our town. We've done a lot of witnessing and so forth. And they came to a pastor's house. They didn't know it was a pastor, but the people in the church came there and said they were sharing Jesus and so forth. And the guy said, they didn't even come up. They didn't bring this up, but the pastor brought it. He didn't even believe there's not a devil out there. That's all good. I'm just thinking, wow, how do you know how to stand in life? How do you know how to fight unless you know who your opponent is? See, so the Word of God gives us discernment and helps us to see truths that are very, very important for us to see. Amen? All right, so Matthew 6. So let's go here now. Matthew 6, when Jesus is talking the Lord's Prayer. Now, how many of us grew up, we said the Lord's Prayer every day? And I mean, that just was part of our lives, to say the Lord's Prayer. And you know how you could quote liturgy word for word, but never really maybe understand it, or maybe never not even think about it. So one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, interesting. Here Jesus is actually saying, this is the prayer. And he's think about this. What is heaven like? And he's saying, I want you to pray that heaven would be done in earth, that things would be done in earth as they are in heaven. Yeah. So now in heaven, we know, write down a reference in Revelation 21:4. In heaven, there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no sin, there's no sorrow, no crying, all those things in heaven. And so Jesus is praying here, says, I want you to pray that heaven would come to earth. Now, how many times do we think about, oh, going to heaven would just be so wonderful and so forth. But when he's talking about this, now he's not talking about heaven coming like, oh, all these nations will be like heaven, but he's talking about people, right? Jesus died for people. And so he wants heaven to be in your life. Amen. He wants heaven, the heaven itself, the characteristics of heaven, the nature of heaven, the nature of God to be in us so that we walk in the Spirit. So that we walk in love, so that we have the peace of God. Pastor Jeannie's just talking about the peace that passes all understanding. so that we can be healthy, so that we can be blessed, so that we can be a blessing to the world. So heaven is supposed to come to us. And so in praying that prayer, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, this is how I want you to pray. I want you to pray that heaven will come. Lord, bring heaven here. Lord, bring heaven to our lives. Lord, bring heaven in us that we can bring heaven to others. Amen? So it's this touch of heaven that is just like a manifestation of the presence of God. Even when our daughter was sick for many years, and there's still a few books in the back table there and so forth, but, you know, it wasn't an easy time. And yet through it all, we kept praising God. Through it all, you know, we thank God for his presence. Through it all, we learned that God is good. Through it all, we learned that even if our daughter died, we were crying. We laid her on the couch one day. We knew healing was his will. Yeah. Healing is his will. Yeah. He wants to heal people. And I don't understand different times people aren't and so forth. But nevertheless, you don't want to lower the word of God to your experience. You want to ascend. You want to allow your experience to come up to the word of God. The word of God is the standard that we go by. Amen? So we can't say, you know, I prayed, it didn't happen, therefore it was the will of God. Well, that would be very foolish, presumptuous to do that. You want to raise your level up. This is the word. This is the target. Lord, I'm just going to believe it because that's what it says. So in the middle of all the things, even the adversity, for years, we just continued to trust God, and God was faithful to come and to minister to us and help us and keep us going. You know, I mean, we're fighting all these battles, pioneering a church, and then our daughter was sick. We faced bankruptcy. We faced because of medical bills and all the things like that. And yet, knowing the word of God, we still knew that he was on our side. So it was never like, oh, you're against us. No, it's like, you're our answer. Kept praising him because he's our answer, not our problem. He's always your answer. Amen. So no matter what you face, you always want to keep going to the Bible, going to him in praise because he is our helper. Holy Spirit is our helper. Okay, so let's look at a few more verses here. 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. That's to the right in the New Testament, toward the end of the New Testament. You know, I never knew the Bible growing up. Never read it other than having to go to confirmation, and then it was like, oh boy, let me get out of this, you know. And I got confirmed, and that was the last. The Bible began to be a nice, paperweight, yeah. So, you know, but knowing the Word of God now, it brings life. And the thing is, people can sometimes say, well, I've read that. Folks, I read the Bible every day, just being in the Word, just like you eat a hamburger a lot. You know, it's not like, you know, I had a hamburger 6 years ago, I don't need a hamburger anymore. No, you keep eating hamburgers and pizza and everything like that because you like it. The Word of God is good. You keep eating, you keep ministering, and it keeps refreshing your soul. Amen. We have programs where we read through our Bible every year, and it's a blessing. But let's look at two verses here in 1 John chapter 3. Okay, so first of all, verse 5, Jesus, it says, you know, he was manifested. Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Revealed to take away our sins. He wants us to walk in victory. Amen. He doesn't want us to walk in defeat or just like the world. We ought to be different than the world because we love Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus. We should be different than the world. All right, and then you go down a few verses in verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. You know, the Bible shows things. Sin, not good. God is good. All right, devil bad, God good. So it says, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, the works of the devil was sin, sickness, poverty, you know, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus was manifested to destroy those things. And he did. He won the victory for us. Now, people can say, well, then why is the world the way it is? It's because Jesus is coming back someday. But in the meantime, this is a time of grace. It's a time where he's giving people an opportunity to receive him, a time for people to come to him as Savior. So he manifested so that we as Christians can walk in this victory and also transmit this victory to other people who receive Jesus. Amen? Amen. Teaching them to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So people love, though, on the other hand, we've got a Bible, we've got an Old Testament, we've got a New Testament. People love to take the Old Testament stories, talk about the judgment of God and so forth, and how almost like God's going to get you. But now there's another reference. Write this down in 2 Corinthians 3:6. Just write that reference down, 2 Corinthians 3:6. But the Bible says he's made us able ministers of the New Testament. What does that mean? Well, it means now we are ministers. It's a new covenant. People say, well, if God is so good, what changed? What changed is Jesus Christ. God, Bible says God doesn't change, right? But God sent Jesus to die for our sins. And now God sees the world through Jesus Christ and is dealing with the world through this time of grace because of Jesus, right? So because of Jesus, Jesus is the buffer. There's one God, there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus came to save us and redeem us. God loved everybody in this world. Think about it. Everybody in this world, God loves. Jesus paid the price for their sins. Jesus loves them with an everlasting love. Now, folks, this deals with terrorists. Saul of Tarsus was the terrorist of his day. He killed people. He put people in prison. He destroyed families. He destroyed churches. He destroyed house churches. Saul of Tarsus. And yet Jesus loved him. And when you look at people, you might think, oh, boy, that person, oh, they just really bother me. And then you got to think through the eyes of the Bible. Oh, Jesus loves him. Therefore, what must I do? I need to love him. You know, this really isn't an option. The Lord doesn't say, yeah, Dave, you can opt out of that one. That's no big deal. Go ahead and hate him. That's fine. No, no, no. There's no options here. There's no opt out. In fact, Jesus said you got to love your enemies. Love your enemies. Doesn't mean you have to like them all, but you do have to love them. How you treat them, how you react to them. So the Old Testament, we have the Old Testament. Thank God for the promises in the Old Testament. But now the way God deals with us is different in the New Testament. Because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to save people. So we have communion. We have communion services. And the communion service, what are we doing? We're celebrating the New Testament. We're celebrating what Christ has done for us. We're celebrating his body and blood, body broken for us for healing and so forth, his blood shed for us for forgiveness. We're celebrating. We're acknowledging. Communion's all about, hey, we're living today in the New Testament. That's good news. We're living in the New Testament now. So now then we begin to look at people as Jesus sees people. And folks, this is different than the Old Testament. Because we have, of course, I mean, there's... You'll hear all kinds of things from people, from Christian people. And I'm saying they can be Christian people. But you will respond to life based on your filter. Now, a filter is something that is what you either screen out or what you allow in. But if the filter of your life is an Old Testament filter, then you're going to say, God's going to judge America. God's going to get those people. God's going to do, you know. If that's your filter... You'll prophesy that way. You'll prophesy judgment. You'll prophesy negative things, you know. If the filter is a New Testament filter, then you're going to prophesy differently or you're going to speak differently because you're going to prophesy according to how God sees us through Jesus. Let me give you an example, okay? So 9/11, we're all familiar with that, the terrorist attack in New York. And, of course, people say God's judging America and Babylon is being destroyed, almost like people are happy about it. The only sad thing is, of course, is some of those airline pilots and stewardesses were Christians, loved the Lord. Some of them were spirit-filled. People in the towers were Christians that died. Or years ago, I was on a flight, you'd have to be old enough for this, but there was an earthquake in California. In Oakland, San Francisco area. This was in 1989. I was on a plane the next day going to Brazil. I was sitting by a businessman from Minneapolis who was the last plane to leave the runway in San Francisco before the runway cracked. This was a businessman from a prominent corporation. He's sitting next to me, and he's just shook. He got back to Minneapolis. Now he's on his next business trip, and he's talking about it, you know, because he made it out. You know, fortunately, it didn't crack under the wheels of the plane. So people are saying, boy, God is judging San Francisco, you know. Have you ever heard the statement say, if God doesn't judge San Francisco, he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's just not true. Sounds kind of a nice cliche, but it's just not true. The fact is, when San Francisco, the earthquake hit out there, it destroyed churches and it entirely missed the gay community. gay district, T-Bone district, and so forth in San Francisco, didn't have a crack on the wall. Oh, missed all them. I knew a pastor at the time, big church in Oakland, great friend, David Keitley. And their church, you know, sustained some damage, but other churches were destroyed. Oh, it missed the gay community. Oh, he must have, God must have had a bad aim. Oh, man, got to work on that. But people see, speak real quick because of judgment. Or New Orleans, the Hurricane Katrina hits New Orleans, and so, yeah, God's judging New Orleans. Well, Mardi Gras is a wicked city and so forth. Oh, man, he missed Bourbon Street. Wow, churches are destroyed. Charles Green had a church of several thousand people. Church destroyed, never recovered. The building was destroyed. The congregation was scattered, never recovered. Bourbon Street, though, by the way, wasn't damaged. Oh, wow, how about that? But see, people are quick to say something out of a wrong filter. See, God today, you got to understand me here, but God is in another place. He's not trying to hammer the world. He's trying to save the world because he sent Jesus Christ. He's trying to save the world. He's trying to help people. Amen? He's trying to minister to people. If God is doing judgment, any judgment of God is very surgical. In other words, it's just like, that person, no, they're gone. You know, that would be the judgment of God. Very surgical, no one else harmed, and so forth. He didn't have to cause a calamity. If the storms are from God, then why did Jesus get up and rebuke the storm? Okay. Just think now. Just think in a rational way. Because if the storm is from God, he's getting up, I rebuke you, God! Well, he's not doing that. He's rebuking something destructive that was trying to destroy them. Think about it. Think about things in relationship. Sometimes people say, that accident, well, the Lord must have, he just wanted to lay you up for 6 weeks so you'd read the Bible. Folks, you can't believe how many people, we had our daughter in telethon, MDA telethons, muscular dystrophy telethons. We were in live television and so forth. And the sad thing is we saw kids with like Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Most kids never live out of their teens, you know, to 20 or something. And they're deformed, and then they can't breathe. And, you know, we had a TV station, and I walked up to this boy. He's in a wheelchair. We were always in the green room. We could see everybody. And the TV people got to know us so well, they just handed us the microphone. Our daughter was a poster child for muscular dystrophy for 2 years. They'd hand us the microphone. We share about Jesus on live television. It was amazing, you know, and that God is good and so forth. But I went over to this boy, and I got down by his chair, and I started talking to him, and I said how much Jesus loved him. He looked away like that, and he said, I hate God. Well, why did he hate God? Because someone said this was God. Because someone said this was God's work in his life. You know, he was bitter. He was angry. You know, his jaw was clenched. Had my hand on his shoulders, just bones there and stuff. And I said, I want you to know something. I said, this isn't God. God didn't do this to you. And after about 5 minutes, he had tears running down his eyes. And he was just thinking about the love of God. No one ever told him that, how much Jesus loved him. You know, that this wasn't God. God didn't do this. God wasn't trying to harm him. Sometimes people say, oh, you must have had sin in your life. That is the worst thing you could ever say to someone. You know, they came to Jesus and they said, hey, the Tower of Siloam fell, killed 18 people. And they said, they must have really been bad sinners. And he said, no, that isn't the case at all. Or the people that were killed, and it says right in that same thing, Pilate mingled their blood with the sacrifices. They must have been bad sinners. And Jesus said, no, you live in a fallen world. In a fallen world, bad things happen. Always goes back to the fingerprint of the enemy. This boy who was about 17 years old, he cried. I hugged him, prayed for him. First time that he heard some good news. Just that God loves him. Jesus loves him, cares about him, and so forth. That's the good thing of God. Write down John 3:17. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to condemn anybody. I don't care who the person is, just didn't come to condemn him. We're learning a lot about all this, but it's just amazing to see that he's so good. Yes, he is. So let's look at something quickly here in Luke chapter 9. Now, here's a story where Jesus was going to go through Samaria. And they didn't receive Jesus. They didn't allow him to go that way. They rejected him and so forth. But it says this. So this is good. Good to see. Luke chapter 9. And let me just start reading at verse 51. So it's time he was come that he should be received up. Verse 52. He sent messengers before his face that they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for Jesus coming through. Verse 53, they did not receive Jesus. And you have to understand, even in those days, there was prejudices and so forth like that. Verse 54, the disciples, James and John, the beloved disciple. Just think, John, the beloved disciples. When they saw that they had rejected Jesus, they come to Jesus and said, Lord, should we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just like Elijah did? Now, they had to think, we're standing on pretty good ground here. We're quoting Old Testament. We're quoting something the great prophet Elijah did. We should call down fire. And should we just burn them up, Lord? What do you think? Now, this is the contrast from the old to the new. It's important. All through the New Testament, Jesus brought contrasts. The Sermon on the Mount was a whole contrast from the old to the new. Like people's Old Testament, so you shouldn't commit adultery. Jesus, New Testament, don't even look on a woman. Higher standard, actually. Don't even look on a woman to commit adultery. So Jesus raised the bar all the way along. So look, notice what Jesus said. John says, should we call down fire? Like Elijah did, Old Testament, Jesus rebuked them, verse 55, and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. Now this is the disciples just saying, that's old nature, guys. That's your flesh. That's old nature. And Jesus is saying, we're not doing that anymore. New Testament now. We're not doing that. We're not calling down fire. We're not burning them up. And Jesus says in verse 56, the Son of Man has not come to destroy lives, but to save the lives. So we know from the Bible, you can write down for 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing, he's long-suffering, not willing that anybody should perish. So think about God now. Think about what it's saying. He's not willing that anybody, he's long-suffering, doesn't want anybody to be lost. Okay? So, think about this. In South Dakota, there was an abortion doctor who was well known, who for many years, some decades, performed abortions in South Dakota. He was the doctor who did it. And Christians, you know, would pray against him and pray that he'd die and pray that this and that would happen. The only thing is, God loves the guy yet. And he lived a long life. So he lived to be an old, old man, retired well, lived a long life. But why is that? Because God still wants to save him. He still wants to redeem him. He still wants to make something of his life. He's not willing because Jesus paid for his sins. Now, if he dies and goes and without receiving Jesus, where is he going? Well, he's going to hell. That's true. But the point is that Jesus paid the price for people's lives. Now, follow me here. Follow me here. This is important. Incidentally, when babies die and people say, well, the Lord must have had a reason to have another angel in heaven. Well, first of all, people don't become angels, so wrong thinking. Second of all, he doesn't need another rose or anything like that. God's not killing babies. If he'd be killing babies, he'd be an abortionist like everybody else or other people. He's not in that business. Things happen because we're just in a fallen world. And you're not going to understand it all, but that's just how it is. So God loves people. Think about Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong, we have Chinese people in our church. They came from China to the United States. They earned their doctorate degrees in the United States. Mao Zedong was the man who led China after Chiang Kai-shek in the 1940s and overtook China and made it communist. He's responsible for 25 million deaths. He's responsible for changing the landscape of the country from the way it was to the way it is now. And it's actually changing some now. But Mao Zedong, here's this guy. He committed all these atrocities, and the guy lives to be 82. Lived a long life. Pol Pot was a guy, if you ever saw a movie Killing Fields, I don't recommend it, but it is a true story. Killing Fields was Cambodian. After the United States pulled out of Vietnam and so forth, and Pol Pot, the Khmer Rouge, took control in Cambodia. There was a lot of Christians in Cambodia. And Pol Pot was responsible for 2 million deaths. But Pol Pot, who was the leader of all this, died in a jungle at age 80. He lived to be an old man in the jungle, all right? Lived to be an old man even out there. See, people sometimes think, well, they did something bad, so God's going to get him. Folks, yeah, God is going to get him. He wants to save him. He wants to save people. Saul of Tarsus was responsible for many deaths, and yet God still wants to save him. Joseph Stalin, Jeannie delivered Bibles to the underground church in Russia in 1975. Communist, illegal, couldn't do it, but brought Bibles in. God hid the people's eyes in the airport, brought and stayed in Russia for a number of days and finally delivered them to the underground church. They had no Bibles. People wept when they got Bibles. The code word was, have you got any bread for us? Bread was the word of God. And they delivered Bibles to the underground church, and people wept when they got Bibles. But the author of communism, you know, you had Stalin and Lenin, but Joseph Stalin was responsible for 35 million deaths. People say Hitler was bad. No, Stalin kind of made Hitler look almost good. Responsible for 35 million deaths and lived to be the age of 74. What am I saying? I'm saying God loves people. He loves people. A man in Dallas back in the 50s, but he really raised people anger. People got very upset because the man put out there, he's going to have this big tent meeting, and he advertised it in the Dallas paper and so forth. 5 reasons why Hitler did not go to hell. Well, people were upset, you know. So people showed up just because they wanted to hear what he had to say. And of course, that was the plan from him. You know, he began to say, you know, Hitler didn't go to hell because he was a racist, and he didn't go to hell because he killed the Jews, and he didn't go to hell because of World War II, and that's it. And the bottom line is, Hitler went to hell because he rejected Jesus Christ. What sends anybody to hell? If you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. But it isn't based on all the other things, because God can take people that were terrible people and do what? He'll forgive them. Like Saul. Like us. Sometimes we think of ourselves, we're pointing a finger, and it's like the Lord said, I had grace on you. I want you to have grace on them. I want you to have mercy on them. I want you to love them like I've loved you and care for you. See, he's so good to us. The woman in the very act of adultery, the Pharisee said, so Jesus says, well, what does the law say? The law says we should kill her. She deserves death. And she did according to the law, Old Testament. And of course, Jesus wrote on the ground, probably sins, and one by one they left. And then he looks up and he says, where are your accusers? You know, Revelation 11 says the accuser of the brethren is the devil. He looks up and says, where's your accusers? And she said, they're not here. They didn't, no one's condemned me. And he says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Was she guilty? Yes, she was guilty. But God loves to forgive guilty people. Amen? It's like we have a ministry, we reach out to drunk drivers. And someone got upset one time and said, what are you, there's your drunk drivers. And I said, I once was one. I was a drunk driver. I never got caught, but I was a drunk driver. I'm guilty. You know? But God forgave me. See, Jesus comes to forgive us. Jesus comes to set us free. He comes to do good things. So let's look at this. We'll do a couple more verses, but Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. So Jesus says, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good. I want you to lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward should be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. The particular thing I want you to underline is the last part of verse 35, that your God, your Father, is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He is kind. That's the God we serve. To the unthankful and to the evil. But what's the point? The point is to see them get saved. The point, and how is he going to do that? He's going to use people. He's going to use people like you and I to go to someone who the world is just broadcast, loser, you know, no hope for you. Or something happens. Yeah, they got what they deserve. They're going to prison. And Jesus would be reaching out to them and offering them help and offering them hope. And they may or may not accept it, but just the same, that's what we're called to do. If you're going to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you've got to be someone who loves people. Right? Who loves people. Just loves them. With not a condition. Not if they do something right. Not if this or that. No, you just got to love people. Because God loves people. He loves people. So notice, he's kind. He's kind. So he wants us to be kind, right? And he says, verse 36, then, you be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. So I want you to be merciful also. I want you to be merciful to people. I want you to care about people. I want you to minister to people as, you know, just like I would minister to them. I want you to pray for the sick. I want you to tell people God has a good plan for them. You know, you might meet someone and they're not even saved. The fact is, God has a good plan for them. God still has a good plan for them. He wants to reach them. He wants to help them. He's got a good future planned at you. He's got good things aimed at you. He's not planning a bad day for you. Don't mind the crying. That's okay. He's got good days planned for you. And if something goes wrong that doesn't line up, well, then all you got to do is just know who your enemy is. Keep thanking Jesus for the victory, amen, that he causes us to overcome. Amen. God sent a Savior, not a judge. He sent a Redeemer. He sent someone that loves us with unconditional love. And we think about it, we have to process this. But someone that I met a guy in Africa who was responsible for 20,000 deaths. And when I went, I saw something about him before I went, and I said to Jeannie, and I heard that he got saved. And I said, I wonder if he got saved. And then there was Africans in our church, and they said, you're going to see this guy? You sure you should see him? I said, I don't know. But I said, when I get there, I'll know. And I got there, and someone, my contact there and so forth, African friend and so forth, and he said, tomorrow you'll meet the general. And I said, I'm going to meet him. And he said, you asked to meet him. And this guy came to where we were at. He had been a general in a war. He had done terrible atrocities. And he got out of his vehicle. I went out, walked out, and he gave me a hug, and I gave him a hug, and I thought, this guy is saved. He sung Amazing Grace with tears coming down his eyes. You know, he accepted the fact that he was guilty, but Christ had forgiven him. There was a minister from the United States that said, he can never be forgiven. He can never be forgiven for what he did. Oh, yes, he can. There's nothing God can't do. He extends his hands to us to forgive us. You know, if you've ever done something, you just feel condemned. Well, that's the devil that condemns you. You know, Jesus will lift us up. Not that you did, not that he doesn't bless the wrong, but you realize, Lord always just saying, run to me. It's like a child that runs, that's riding the bike and so forth. And you know how it is. The child invariably will fall and skin their leg. And what do? They run to mom and dad. That's what Christians ought to do. Run to your Father who loves you with his everlasting love. Because actually Romans or Hebrews says it's a throne of grace. That's how it is. Is Jesus coming back someday to judge the earth? Yes, he is. That's going to happen. But in the meantime is this time of grace. And so it is a throne of grace. When you think of the throne of God, you think, oh boy, you know. No, now through Christ, it's a throne of grace. That we might find grace to help in time of need. So then it causes you, if you know the nature of God and you see the New Testament as it is, it causes you to run to your Father and to receive all that he's got. Because he's so good. He's so good. See, this is what we have to offer the world. The world is broken. The world is hurting. The devil is causing havoc, you know, all over the world. But Jesus has saved us and then give us this great news that we can impart to others and help others. Because people, sadly, Christians have misled people to think that, you know, God did this or killed that person or whatever, and then, oh, you don't know his ways, you know, you don't know the ways of the Lord. Like 1 Corinthians, it says, eye has not seen nor has ear heard what God has prepared for them that love him. Says, well, we don't know. And I always tell people, you know what you ought to do? You should read the next verse. Because when people say that, then I always tell, I know they're illiterate. They don't know. They're quoting an Old Testament verse. They just haven't read the next verse. Because the next verse says, but God has revealed them unto us. God has revealed things. See that? So when you get in the Word of God in the context, all of a sudden things get clearer and clearer and clearer. You know what I mean? So God's not in the business of killing people. He's in the business of saving people. He's in the business of helping people. He's in the business of blessing people. The devil brings sickness and disease. Jesus brings healing and hope and help. That's what we have to offer people, is all this good news. And you're going to come up against people that are angry. They're angry and they're offended and they're bitter and things have happened from yesteryear or whatever. That's true. You got to wade through that. But it isn't God. God loves them. God cares about them and has great plans for their life. I'm just sitting here thinking, just close your eyes for a minute, but anybody here that's thought about ending their life, if you thought about ending your life, if that's you, raise your hand. Thought about ending your life, okay? Okay, anybody else? Anybody else that you've thought about ending your life, that your love of life wasn't worth going on, and just ending it? Anybody else? All right. Is there anybody else? You know, his plans for you are so good. There's three people that raised their hand. I think there's more, but I want to say that his plans for you are so good. Your life has so much value. And when you thought about that, when that thought went through your head, it was a lie from the enemy. Okay? It's a lie from the enemy. It's like a spirit saying a bad word, saying, your life doesn't matter. You're not important. But it is important because Jesus died for your sins. Jesus has a plan for you. He does. And your life is valuable to him. And that thought that you heard was demonic because it comes to destroy. So I'm going to rebuke that, all right? I'm going to rebuke those thoughts. I'm going to rebuke those things that might have come to you before, okay? And it's going to leave. Because your life is valuable. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you how much you love us. Each person here, how valuable they are to you because you gave your life for them. And even right now, Lord, in this place where darkness has come, we rebuke that and we command light to come forth in Jesus' name. We command light to come forth in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that demonic thought. We command it to leave in the name of Jesus. And in its place, I thank you for good thoughts, Lord. I thank you for good thoughts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for good thoughts, positive thoughts. How valuable you are, how important you are that Christ died for you because you are special to him. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you just for touching their brain even right now, Lord. Touching their brain with these good thoughts, positive thoughts in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And what you want to do is fill up, you know, you've got this or that comes in. Now you want to fill those thoughts up with a good thought, with the Bible. Especially New Testament. You want to fill those thoughts up with what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? Fill it up with good thoughts. Because he loves you. All right? And that, see, otherwise you leave a vacuum. So you got to fill it. Fill it with that. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray just, you have turmoil in relationships, people that seem to argue and fight and so forth. And, but again, and it could be at work, it could be at home or whatever, but just close your eyes a second. If that's you, just lift your hand again a second. If that's you, you got turmoil in relationships, all right. Others, are things at work, just, all right, there's just things going on. You know, I know it can be turmoil, but that person or those people are not your enemy. And you have to see beyond, you have to see beyond that physical face or person, and you have to see them, you know, to have victory over this, you have to see them how Jesus sees them, to love them. Because otherwise you just think, I don't want to be nice, I don't want to care about them, I don't want to love them, you know. But no, you need to. You need to. He commands us to love one another. So I pray, Lord, you just give them knowledge even right now. Revelation, Lord, that they see truth, that they see who their adversary truly is, the devil, and that they see this person or these people in the light that you see them, Father. I pray you give them a heart of compassion. And I pray, Jesus, that you would give them hope. We just speak hope that their situation will improve in Jesus' name. I pray you'd help them to sow good seed into that ground. Sow good seed into that ground. That sow seeds of love and seeds of blessing and so forth in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for just helping them to do that. I thank you for blessing them as they respond in your nature, with your nature, Jesus, the nature of God, to be merciful, to be kind to the unthankful and to the evil. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Our son, he was working at a corporation, and he's at another corporation now, at a bank. But prior to this, at this corporation, there's people that he was responsible for, but people had various issues and stuff like that. But God just God bless his heart, you know. He just think of ways or things to do. So, I mean, little things like, hey, we got donuts today. And everybody goes, donuts, you know. Well, if that's going to help bless somebody, give them a donut, you know. Do something nice for them. Do something sweet for them, you know, because it's like, why are you doing this? I don't know. Just want to. Just sow things into their lives. Amen. Because you reap what you sow. So if we keep planting good seed and so forth, then we're going to grow a good crop. And I believe things can turn around for the glory of God. Amen. Did you have something there? Go ahead.
What to pray for. Again, just go ahead and close your eyes. If you feel that you have a broken heart. And you just lift your hand a little bit.
Jesus.
Yes, 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 yes,
thank
yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is a healing balm of Gilead.
Mm.
And by Jesus' Spirit and with his love,
yes.
He has the ability today to mend those wounds.
Yes.
And to heal your heart of the sorrow.
Healing.
He says that he gives us, in place of sorrow, he gives us a joy unspeakable.
Thank you, Jesus.
Full of glory. So, Jesus, by your Spirit right now, we pray for each one who's been wounded, you've been betrayed,
you've
been abandoned, and left disappointed and broken. We release the love and the healing of Jesus,
yes,
right now into your lives. We pray that your heart would be mended.
Thank
we
you.
Pray today that broken your broken heart be made
yes.
whole.
Yes.
Be healed now.
Yes.
And we pray now for a healing of your of the memories, that you'll be able to look forward and not be looking backward. But that right now that there will be a notable supernatural mending that you can't even explain in the natural.
Yes.
because of perfect love.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
That you've touched each heart here today. Mm. You've made everything new, as only you can do.
Mm-hmm.
As only you understand.
Thank you, Jesus.
What each one has been through.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for touching each one.
Thank you, Jesus.
With the power of your love, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, as God touches us, you know, he does bring healing into our lives, but sometimes it's like a scab. If you have a scab on your hand, don't scratch it. I got a scratch, and people scratch, and they watch themselves bleed. You know, I can't get rid of that scab. Don't just let it be. You know, when things come back to you, just bless people, and just keep staying that place of faith and praise to the Lord. Don't scratch a wound. Just let it be. He brings healing and hope, and you can come to a place, that doesn't bother me at all anymore. I am over that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm over that. It doesn't bother me a bit. And you can be healed, totally healed. Sometimes it happens instantaneously, and sometimes it's a process, but you want to believe God for that full manifestation of his healing. Yes. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
See, God cares. Think about this. If he knows how many hairs are on your head, like, you know, why would he even keep a tally? Think of all the people in the world, the billions and billions of people, and he actually knows how many of trillions and trillions of hairs there are. How much more does he care about your life? If your hair, if he actually takes that kind of inventory of your life, he knows that. He knows everything about us. Amen. The thing is, he knows us the best and loves us the most, which is amazing, you know. I mean, you can hide a lot of things from other people. You can hide someone from your spouse. You know, well, I'm not going to let him know that part of my life. And yet God knows us the best. He knows everything about us. But there's no one who loves you more with this unconditional love that brings healing in our hearts. And you know what? As we're healed, we turn around. As we receive, we give out to other people. You want to be a giver. You want to give out Jesus. You want to give out his love. You want to sow in other people's lives. Follow what I'm saying? All right, let's just lift our hands just a second. This is just like a time, Lord, we just surrender to you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. And Lord, we acknowledge we are your vessels. And we are vessels of honor for your glory. And I thank you, Jesus, for how you're working in our hearts. And even from this today, Lord, for the healings and touches or deliverances, Lord, that you've done, Lord, I thank you for causing this to spread even to other farms and other towns and other regions around us, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your name would be praised, Jesus, that you are the great I am.
Yes, you are, Lord.
And you are the one, Lord, that brought us this life, the New Testament. Thank you, Jesus, for the New Testament. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you, Lord. You didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. Thank you, Jesus, for just touching people right now. Personally, in their hearts, secret things even, Lord, yes. that only they know about and you know about. But I thank you for touching him, Jesus, and bringing that life in Jesus' name. 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 Someone lost a child when you were young. You lost a child when you were young. And you feel guilty over it. You feel guilty over losing this child. I'm talking about a baby that you lost. But you know, Jesus loves you. Today's the day to get over the guilt. Today's the day just to receive his grace and love. Today's the day to shake off condemnation, to not let that bother you any longer in the name of Jesus. Just close your eyes and say, who's that? Raise your hand. It might have happened years ago. Who's that? Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your touch, that your touch makes us whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. He's so good. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. You're a good, good God. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who we are because of you, Jesus. And we have reason to smile, and we have reason to lift up our heads, and we have reason to embrace our lives, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to share one last verse here today that will empower you and tie right in with Pastor's message. Aren't you glad God is good?
God is good. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So I'm just going to ask you to write this verse down too, because it changes lives.
Yeah.
When we get a word from God,
yeah,
it will carry us through. It has carried us through decade after decade,
yeah,
of our married life and as we've walked for him.
Yeah.
But I want to say to you Psalm 115 and verse 16. It says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. Amen to that?
Yeah.
The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But look at this. But the earth. Everyone say, but the earth.
But the earth.
Say it again. But the earth.
But the earth.
One more time.
But the earth.
He has given to the children of men.
Yeah.
So as we go from here with this message of God's goodness,
yeah,
we know that we are authorized to do his work on the earth.
That's right.
The heavens are his. Yay,
that's
God.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. But the earth.
Yeah.
Say it.
But the earth.
Come on, one more time.
But the earth.
See, we have a commission.
Yes.
We have a work to do. We have, yes, a job to do. And there's people here. There's people here, I know we've been waiting for answers to prayer, and we're like, come on, God, come on, God. But it says, but the earth he's given to the children of men. We're,
amen,
authorized.
Amen.
We are the ones sent out to heal the sick.
Yeah.
To raise the dead.
Yeah.
We're believing for dead people to be raised up,
yeah,
for eyes to be healed, for,
yes,
blind eyes to be opened, for the,
yes,
deaf ears to be opened.
Yes.
But the earth, shout it out.
But the earth.
But the earth.
But the earth.
We're commissioned. He,
yes,
has given to the children of men.
Amen.
So we have a high calling,
yes,
of God in Christ Jesus. We're not lethargic. We're not apathetic.
Yeah.
Amen. Shout amen.
Yeah. Amen.
We're not pathetic.
Yeah.
No, we're commissioned. We're authorized. And we're going about doing good and healing all. Because that's,
amen,
what the Lord,
that's right,
did.
That's what he did.
And that's what we do.
Amen.
With his grace. And I'm just so grateful for,
amen,
that message of grace,
yes,
and love and his goodness.
Amen.
And I'm not sure if Pastor's going to come up and close the meeting, but could we just sing about his goodness? Do you want to stand up?
Mm.
God is so,
so good.
God.